Hi, and welcome to the 5-Minute Business Boost, where you get to choose your 5-Minute Investment. I'm your host, Sam Hicks, and I'll be discussing topics under the headings of business development, marketing, photography, and much more. Welcome to the 5-Minute Business Boost. Today is a huge episode. I give warning to all those that are sitting in their cars going, oh, this will be great, I'll be able to catch up for 10 minutes on the podcast. This is a big one, but I'm a bit passionate about this because a lot of my clients over the years have fallen into these categories of retail and hospitality. So this episode, Thriving Through Tough Times, Retail and Hospitality, is for you guys because I just know how tough it is out there. Australia's small businesses in the retail and hospitality sectors are currently navigating a complex landscape, and this is marked by rising operational costs, stringent compliance requirements, and shifting consumer behaviours. There's a lot of big words in this one. I'm going to be mucking them up. These challenges are compounded by increased global online sales and a customer base grappling with a higher cost of living. I've heard horror stories of landlords raising rents, although this happened to us in the 80s with landlords grappling with high interest rates at the time. Rents were going up in 2-year increments, well outside rental agreements, and forcing many like us out at the time. And then, of course, rental properties were remaining empty for many years. So this brutal environment is not new, but it stings just the same. Coupled with increased online shopping, demand for personalised experiences, a focus on sustainability and ethical practices, and of course there's the whole preference for seamless omnichannel shopping journeys. That means being consistent across every channel you have. So how do you remain in your hospitality or retail business when the cost of living is eroding the disposable income of your clientele? You know, some pubs, and I've heard horror stories about, you know, only having a few covers each night instead of the usual 40 or 50. You know, I've heard of businesses, you know, chopping up their trading hours and staff hours being reduced. And I think it is the norm that people that work in retail or hospitality have usually got more than one job because, number one, they're looking for a bit of diversity and, you know, that whole work-life balance, but there's not the hours out there that there used to be. So it's just heartbreaking all the way around. And not to mention the reduced foot traffic in retail shops. And I suppose that's evident also too, and I think this is a good thing because I used to do this, but there's an increase of market storeholders getting out there and talking directly with the locals. And I've seen a lot of local markets around me shoot up and gain quite a lot of vendors. So for me, it's a little bit like going back to the 80s, although there seemed to be more cash around then. But don't get me started on that with this whole digital banking thing. Anyway, so current challenges. Now, I have read lots of reports in the last couple of weeks and written heaps of notes and taken heaps of screenshots, but it seems to come down for me to 6. So the first one is rising operational costs. So the 2024 Big Small Business Survey revealed that 44.89% of small business owners listed rising costs as their biggest concern, up from 19.06 in 2023. Bit of a jump there. And this aligns with what we're seeing on the ground here in, you know, down on the grassroots level. We've got businesses closing at the end of financial year last year. We had businesses closing at Christmas or at sporadic times during the year, especially around their lease renewal time. And this is a little depressing, sorry, trigger warning, that the insolvency rate is alarming. Over 1,400 businesses became insolvent in November 2024 alone, with some estimates suggesting 1,000 closures per month leading up to Christmas. And that was reported by the Daily Telegraph in 2024. And empty storefronts in regional metro areas also tell the story loud and clear. I don't know if you've noticed when you've been out and about, but I certainly have. Number 2, cash flow management. This old biscuit. Cash flow remains one of the most stressful aspects of running a small business, with 49% of business owners citing it as a major concern, as reported by retail.org.au. The Big Small Business Survey also highlighted that 48.85% of their businesses surveyed struggle to increase revenue, compounding their financial anxiety. Chasing unpaid invoices, dealing with rising costs, and unpredictable expenses just add to the pressure. And yes, it'd be nice for me to sit here and say, yeah, well, as a business owner, you need clear pricing strategies to remain viable. And yet many hesitate to raise their prices for fear of losing customers. And it gets back to that making sure that you understand about the cost of your operation or cost of goods or COGS. Now, the big small business survey, try saying that five times fast, found that only 15.63% of businesses have a structured pricing strategy, putting their profitability at risk. Food for thought. Number three is labour shortages. Now, oh my God, I can hear everybody that's listening to me go, oh my God, Sam, it's such a big issue. And it is. The hospitality industry remains the hardest hit by staff shortages, with 45% of businesses struggling to find employees in 2023, according to torrens.ed.au. The big small business survey confirmed that staffing challenges increased in 2024, with 38.39% of business owners unable to find qualified candidates. Now, that's up from 29.33% on the previous year. The Australian Bureau of Stats, his most recent data shows that hospitality was the worst affected by staff shortages in 2023. So we're all saying the same thing. I don't think it's improved through 2024, and I think 2025 will be no different. And that is just on talking to clients, talking to businesses out there at grassroots level, that things are not getting any better. And then if you couple that with the lack of affordable housing and public transport in regional areas, it's the most challenging I think it's ever been. And it has been for some time. It's just growing. Now, some businesses are adapting by turning to automation, outsourcing, or AI-driven solutions. I saw this firsthand during COVID when a cafe implemented a self-serve QR code ordering system because they couldn't find enough front-of-house staff. And it worked really well for the two owners of that cafe. One was a chef. One was front of house. And I think it replaced at the time because they couldn't fill three positions. So, something to think about. Now, a side note. Oh no, I've jumped ahead just as well. I've got it written out in front of me. AI-driven chatbots, self-serve kiosks and vending machines are now filling employment gaps, allowing businesses to operate with fewer employees. A side note, according to Google, the Australian vending machine market generates $64 million a year in profit. Consumers are embracing moving away from that personal contact with sellers to a more anonymous approach through the internet and online sales. And as I've just said, self-serve kiosks and vending machines. Even the way we search for items online is changing, with people using AI to search for items and the best deals. And nearly 80% of the time spent by people online, they're watching videos. Now, Marcus Sheridan via podcast this week mentioned that, and I thought, it's not like I haven't heard that before, but when you pull this into this episode, 80% is watching videos in search, and that is such a big part of the search, and it's all around that third party credibility and actually visually seeing something. So for my HOSPO listeners, consider if you can implement an automated menu ordering system. One I found online was UpMenu, and they do this in cafes and restaurants. And most of these systems now have CRMs integrated with your point of sale and can create apps that you can fully customize. But as always, do your own research, ask around and see what others in other regions are doing, because there might be quicker, faster, better apps out there. Number four, shift to online shopping. Now, the global increase in online sales has intensified competition for brick and mortar stores, requiring them to adapt their business models to remain competitive. Now, according to Australia Post's e-commerce industry report in 2024, This is a bit of a chunk out of it, but it's really relevant. They say, despite flat overall spending, online shopping has increased, with consumers making more frequent but smaller purchases, averaging $98 per 10 per basket, a 4.6 decrease from the year before. So online marketplaces and variety stores saw a 9.1 rise in spending, while food and liquor stores also grew due to more online grocery shopping opportunities. Now, also worth noting, in 2023, 8 in 10 Australian households, which I suppose is equating, according to Australia Post's figures, which is 9.5 million plus 1.4% year on year, shopped online. That's a huge increase of 1.5 million more households shopping online compared to 2019. So, on average, 5.6 million households made an online purchase each month in 2023. Yikes. Hands up if you were one of them. I have my hand raised. So, it's here to stay, this whole online shopping thing. So, retailers, in order to stay competitive, you must have a mix of online and in-store purchasing options. Otherwise, it's going to be too tricky. Very tricky. Even trickier. Number five, consumer spending constraints. So rising inflation and living costs have drastically altered consumer behaviour. The Big Small Business Survey found that fewer than 10% of business owners are worry-free, with financial strain being their top concern. And I suspect this has a lot to do with consumers prioritising those essentials, food, utilities and transportation, over discretionary spending. And this has been noted by The Guardian in 2024. So you could also see further evidence of this with the growth of community food sharing programs and the rise in home cooking and vegetable growing. Businesses, you must adapt. You've got to have your offerings really around being highly focused on value-driven products and affordable price points, because that high inflation and the rising living costs, I don't think is going to slow anytime soon. And because it's reduced our consumer spending on non-essential items, it's really impacting our sales right across the board. And it doesn't matter what size retail or hospitality business you are, because even the bigger boys, the national retailers are notably affected as well. You only have to look at how many national retailers are getting rid of shop fronts. You know, they're condensing. However, the Australian Retailers Association notes that a total of $36.45 billion, yes, billion, was spent throughout September 2024, and that was up 2.3% on the same month last year. They go on to state that growth was really led by other retailing, 5.2%, and food, which was 3.1%, and I think that's because you can online food shop now. While discretionary categories like clothing, 0.8%, and household goods, 0.03%, saw minimal gains, and department stores really declined at minus 0.2%. People are not out walking and talking. They're online shopping at midnight in their pajamas, like some in this house. Now, many retailers this past year embraced sales events like Black Friday and Cyber Monday as more consumers shop early to manage costs. Now, although the CEO of ARA notes, high business costs, retail crime, supply chain issues and workplace reforms continue to challenge the sector, along with that shift that I've been talking about, discretionary spending for those essential goods and services. And people are looking for those reduced savings, and, you know, they've got to look for, they're looking for cheaper options, which, you know, hurts the whole department, doesn't it, of retail or hospitality. But very interesting that he has noticed retail crime, which must be on the increase hugely. So supply chain issues, how many times have you gone in, you know, the supermarket shelves, the local retailer, you know, and they've got an empty shelf because they can't get the stock. I had very similar with a printer ink cartridge that took, you know, nearly 3 months to get to me. Never happened before. Always would be here within 3 days. So it is happening. It's happening to all of us. So unless you've been living under that rock, we're all feeling the pinch. And there is now an increase in food sharing resources in most regional towns. At home, we're cooking more, probably like you guys, and more from scratch. And the home veggie patch is growing. That's if I can keep the box of dogs away from the tomatoes. Anywho, consumers are prioritising essential spending on food, utilities and transportation, as I've said, opting for those cheaper brands and cutting back where they can. And unfortunately, they're cutting back on entertainment and dining out. And some households are incurring more debt to cover essential expenses, which is slowing economic growth and pressuring businesses with decreased sales. So, does this mean, however, it might lead to further interest rate adjustments by the Reserve Bank of Australia to manage inflation and stabilise the economy? This has been mooted by far more educated people than myself. Time will tell. That was a big one. Number six, rising compliance costs. Oh my God, don't get me started on this one. Small businesses face increasing costs related to regulatory compliance, including workplace safety, food handling, wage laws, and reporting requirements. Every time you open up your email, every time you turn on the news or you listen to something or see something on social media, you know, it's another law that's coming in, another regulation. It never ends. And just like everything, hospitality businesses are particularly impacted by increasing costs, you know, liquor licensing, food safety regulations, and employee award rates. And just like our region's producers, the licensing part is out of control at the moment, with many telling me privately that their struggles with many licenses needed just for one liquor line. It doesn't stop. The big small business survey found that many small to medium enterprises really want that government action to reduce tax burdens and the red tape. And many of my listeners will agree because we're drowning in it. Frequent changes in legislation just add complexity and financial burden, with many businesses struggling to keep up without additional administrative support or legal advice. The Age reported in August 2024 about the Victorian business red tape and revealed Victorian companies are suffering under the highest red tape burden in the country. Interesting. According to vic.gov.au, there are more than 30,000 hospitality businesses, including cafes, restaurants and bars. And the government at the moment is offering hospitality industry tools that are supposed to streamline hospitality business permits and licensing processes. This has been in place since November 21 last year, but is it really helping businesses to navigate the industry? How many new ones are coming on and using those tools? So, Sam, what other strategies can we consider? Now, here are some strategies for staying ahead. There's quite a few. Are you ready? Okay, so you need to embrace digital transformation. Anything digital, really. You need to consider developing a robust online presence through user-friendly websites and active social media engagement. Just have a website and one social media channel. Easy peasy. Make sure it's where your consumers are hanging out, though. Implementing digital tools can streamline those operations and enhance customer experiences. And this is where digital marketing is in its absolute field day at the moment, because those websites now can have so many different plugins. If you're using a WordPress or an API handshake with another intermediary, you can do so much more with websites than what you could 10 years ago. So think about that, how you can streamline those operations, even just with a booking app. Easy peasy. Consider an opportunity to identify where you might need help and see if there's an app or a tech solution that can take some of the pressure off. Talk to like-minded industry peers to seek some answers and see what's out there, what's online. Attend workshops when you can and networking events, and learn from others embracing apps or AI-enhanced applications. Just might save you hours of work each week. Think of the time saved and put that hour into going for a walk or spending some time with your family, or just like many of us do, sleep. Optimize financial management. Now, this is a fancy way to say that you need to check over your finances, regularly monitor financial metrics, control costs by renegotiating supplier contracts, seek an insurance broker for those rising insurance costs, and consider automating repetitive tasks to improve efficiency. Recently, by suggesting this to a client, the client contacted me a few weeks ago to say that they had saved $40,000 in insurance premiums. That's right, you heard it right, 40K. And that was just by getting an insurance broker to review all of their policies. How cool is that? I did little cartwheels. Not that I was doing cartwheels really, but I was doing them in my head. So, diversifying income revenue streams such as offering, catering or hosting events can also boost income. And I have seen this work locally quite well. Consider another side hustle. Is there something in-house that can be expanded of? Get creative, but more on that shortly. Now the next one, enhance customer experience. So this is really about considering personalizing services to build customer loyalty. You need to be able to engage with your local community through events or in-house or externally, however you can do it. Even consider an in-house loyalty program to foster a sense of belonging and encourage repeat businesses. You know that coffee card. Everybody has one. You know, buy 10 coffees, get one on us. I see people line up and dig around and find their cards. You know, I've seen other people that have them in apps and, you know, they just point of sale, just picks it up and, you know, away they go. And in 10 coffees, they get a free one and they love it. Now, Soupy, I think I've not sure if I've spelt that or sounded this out right. So S-U-P-Y is a restaurant management software platform tailored for multi-branch restaurants and franchises. Now, they note consumers are favouring restaurants that prioritise locally sourced ingredients and eco-friendly practices. Now, food for thought, excuse the pun, and I've been banging on about supporting local and buying local campaigns for 25 years now, and many businesses are working on this and doing this extremely well. So, as I said, food for thought. Check out your beverage menus, review your dining menus, and yes, menus are a big key part of this. Consider simplifying those menus. Quality over quantity may be the key. Now, Soupy, S-U-P-Y, also suggests optimizing your menu. And this can be seen as a major marketing strategy for those running a cafe or restaurant. By analyzing the popularity and profit margins of dishes, they are suggesting you can adjust your menu to boost your restaurant's bottom line. Now, another app. See, I was obviously searching for this online some time ago, and one that appeared in my feed the other day is an app, and this is not an endorsement. It's called Restoke, so Restoke.ai. And I was watching the gentleman talk about how it works, and it really gets down to analysing all this data rather than working on the old Excel spreadsheets of years ago. This actually works on your insights and pulls up reports that will allow you to make data-driven decisions. It's all about gathering that data and reviewing. Now, Future Food Blog had an interesting list of promotional activities that you might want to consider too if you're in hospitality or retail. One of the ones that I liked for our hospo people was a collaboration one, and as well as a street food option that came in under $12 per meal by Fishbowl. It was a smaller version of an in-house dish that they create all the time, and they put it in an eco-friendly takeaway package. Seemed to work really well. Okay, so if you've got teams or you've got staff, the next one is all about investing in that staff and their development. You need to be able to attract and retain employees by offering competitive wages, flexible working conditions, and opportunities for professional growth. A well-trained and motivated team can significantly improve service quality and operational efficiency. You know that old adage, your business is only as good as your team? There it is. So as far back as 2019, the Australian Retailers Association have been talking about investing in employees, maintaining it was and is crucial for the development and success of brands. Now, while many young people view retail shops as temporary and hospitality, training is a long-term investment that attracts motivated employees and boosts confidence. Training staff in customer service, communication, and problem-solving skills is so essential, as those employees are and become brand ambassadors. Understanding the business structure and market trends helps employees develop a sense of ownership. Training also prepares employees for leadership roles and improves efficiency. And there are various training platforms that are out there, making it a cost-effective way to maintain team loyalty and ensure excellent customer service. A client I had some time ago worked with me, and we designed, before AI and before these apps came out, a simple onboarding process. And it was just done in, you know, good old-fashioned PowerPoint and then PDF'd, and then the employees had to go through. And then they were sort of not tested, but they were just asked on, you know, what they learnt out of it, what resonated with them. And they, each employee was asked to give back feedback. If it was their program, what would they add or change? It was a really good process to go through. Okay, the next one is implement sustainable practices. You need to adopt eco-friendly initiatives such as reducing waste and sourcing locally to appeal to the environmentally conscious consumers and potentially reduce costs. Sustainability is becoming increasingly important to customers, and this can differentiate your business in a competitive market. Now, if you are excelling in this area, make sure your team and, more importantly, your clientele know about it and your community, because you want them all to be your eco-ambassadors. Now, look at that. I said that without muffing that up. That was pretty impressive. Exploring side hustles to boost revenue. Another potential way to navigate these tricky times is by introducing side hustles within your existing business model. So this is about diversifying revenue streams that can provide additional financial security and help businesses stay resilient in these tough economic conditions. So consider these options, and these are only a couple of ideas off the top of my head, but you might have many more. Hospitality businesses could offer catering services, meal kits, or private dining experiences to increase revenue outside regular dining hours. And there are quite a few caterers around that do this as well, and it works really well for them. Retailers might explore subscription boxes, custom product lines, online courses, or product nights related to their niche. One local retailer I've seen does this really well, and they have their VIP evenings. So they're acknowledging their top clients and giving back on the night, and that builds long-term customer loyalty. Side hustles can allow businesses to tap into existing resources, maximizing those slow periods and attracting new customer segments. If you're unsure where to start, analyze your customers' pain points and explore solutions that complement your core business. And my favorite one, last but not least, keep making content. So this is online content, people. Reddit, which Google loves, AI's ChatGPT, and search engines are looking for retail items and hospitality offerings. They're looking for those events, happenings, and deals, as that is what consumers are looking for and typing into those so many bit bigger than just, you know, online search bars now. They are searching in so many different ways. And the way that we search is changing. And there's an episode coming up on that as well. Again, review your data. See what people are engaging with. Keep posting content. Make sure your website is up to date, as is your Google business page and your socials. And make sure your opening times are there and correct. So many times I see people saying, oh, we drive 2.5 hours, because they didn't make a booking, but we drove 2.5 hours to go and have lunch somewhere, and we got there and it was closed. So make sure that you do that, because people will check your socials or your Google My Business page. Google business page to see if you're open. So by focusing all these strategies, small businesses in the retail and hospitality sectors can navigate current challenges and position themselves for long-term success. Now, I know it's going to be hard, people, but you need to think outside the square. And this episode, I hope, has inspired you to think about what opportunities might present themselves to you when you're thinking about this. Links to the articles, including the big small business survey, are below. The survey is well worth a read. In the meantime, if you've got any ideas that are working, feel free to drop me a line and let me know. And cheerio until next time. Thanks for listening to the 5-Minute Business Boost. For more information, follow me on socials, sign up for my newsy, or check out my website to see how we can work together to reach your small business goals. Remember, anything is possible, especially in the northeast of Victoria. Until next time, cheerio.